Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. There are some truly strange and unexplainable things happening in our everyday lives. That's why this series is so much fun to me. Welcome back, my friends, to another episode of the Unexplained Story series. Today we are covering quite a few more stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be an unexplained story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Joining me today is my friend Zach Baby TV. He helped me out by reading story number 2. So if you enjoy his voice and you want to check out more of his stuff, be sure to check out his link, which you can find in the description down below. Now, without further ado, let's get into these stories that'll freak you out tonight. My story is not the scariest and is kind of short, but I hope you share it anyway. I've experienced night terrors for the better part of 20 years. These days, it's kind of an old hat, pun intended. I know that it's imperative not to be afraid, so I simply pray during these occurrences. In all of my countless encounters in the dreamscape, as I like to call it, I've only seen what's known as shadow people, that oppressive force that tries to suffocate and even at times touch you inappropriately. Twice, I've heard the strangest, darkest voice. Otherwise, I have not seen any other archetypes common to night terrors. Months ago, my 25-year-old nephew texted me in a panic at around 4 a.m. He lives far away on the East Coast. He said he just saw the old hag while staying at his girlfriend's house. The hag appeared in the threshold at the bedroom door, made her way toward him, and finally began to smother him. He said she began clawing and ripping at his right leg while he tried to fight her off. When he finally woke up, he packed his bags and rushed back to his place. Overwhelmed by fear and anxiety, he was not going to stay there, he said. We spoke that morning, and I did my best to make light of it, given my experiences, and calmed him down. We ended up laughing about the whole thing, blaming it on a burrito he had before falling asleep. Some months later, I began to have frequent night terrors again. I can't quite figure out why there was such a sudden uptick. Perhaps it was just stress, or maybe it was connected. Early one morning, I woke up to find a large, heavy woman standing at the foot of my bed. She was sopping wet, as though she had been drowned. I tried to move, but of course I could not. Sleep paralysis had me in its insufferable grip. I began to pray as she approached my side of the bed. A struggle ensued. She began ripping and clawing at my left arm. My arm throbbed from the phantom attack, or so it seemed. I finally struggled awake. Relieved, I even laughed a little. That was a new one. I immediately called my nephew to tell him I had finally seen what I thought was the old hag too. I explained in detail what had happened. Now, here's the strangest part of the whole ordeal. When I mentioned that she clawed his leg, but she had clawed my arm, he immediately corrected me. No, that's wrong, he said. The old hag also clawed my left arm also. I can't quite make heads or tails of that one. It's a weird story, and I know it's not the creepiest thing, but to me, it was downright creepy.
Before I start this story, I want to give you some information. This person in the story appeared throughout my teenage years. So about 6 or 7 years. I only count a few of the many interactions I had. I also am open to questions from you and the swamp. I am sending this not for a good read, but because I want to get my story out there and perhaps gain some understanding of what or who might it be. For some background information, at the time of this story taking place, I was in a hole of crap. I'm talking about depression. I was sexually confused and suffering from my mom's death at the time. Yeah, it was a hole someone dug and I dumped myself into it. One more key piece of information is my beliefs. Anyways, I do not commonly believe in the paranormal or demons, guardian angels, and other ideas belonging to the category. I do believe in the idea of people with telepathic gifts, though. Anyways, on to the story. I have recounted this day for years now to anyone who will listen and have not changed a word. I was home alone. My dad was out drinking as he commonly did after my mom passed away. My brother was working the graveyard shift. I had to use the restroom and lived on the second floor. There was a restroom on the second level, but I never felt comfortable using it. I liked to go down to the restroom on the sub-basement level, so I was descending from the stairs where there is a sharp turn to the first floor that leaps down to the sub-level. I made my turn and jumped back. Leaning on the railing was a man. I thought for sure it was an intruder and ran my butt back into the kitchen for a knife. When I turned back, he was gone. There was no noise of someone moving, so it was really strange. Now I never was and still am not scared to search houses. I turned my phone flashlight on and did a sweep from the basement to the second floor. Every room was carefully searched, knife still ready to draw blood. Nothing. He was nowhere. He wasn't in the basement, which had no windows nor the garage. He was nowhere. All the doors were still locked, so no way this dude just left and locked the doors behind him. I let the incident go as I'm by no means a saint. I own all sorts of weapons based off my violent behavior. So, a day went by and one night I was dreaming of something I really can't remember. I was suddenly sucked out of my dream by the same man. I'm not sure where we were, but I could not move. I could better see him, and now I could remember every detail of him except his face. Every inch of his skin had clothing on it. His hands had white fancy gloves. He wore a black suit and black pants. This man even had black shoes. I remember I couldn't move my head to look at his face because some unseen force held me back. I felt this urge to see this man's face, but I didn't have to see him to know he was looking at me. At the time, I did not know what to think. Thinking back now, though, I think he was someone who was watching over me. This man would appear each day, sometimes more than 3 times. Even in my sleep, he was around. I honestly grew used to his appearances and would like to say this person was a friend. I would vent to him and talk about my life. I felt he was listening to me. I never felt threatened or intimidated by the man. I have always felt that I should love every step I take. So I did, and I loved my friend and his appearances. Even when my emotions were high, he just made them go away. It is possible that someone out here in this big open world took care of me for years without me ever truly knowing. I told my best friend Alex about it. I don't think he believed me, but I'm not concerned about that. I have made a habit of proving myself to him, and he should know I always tell him the truth. Now I have theories about who or what it was I saw. Some say he might be a demon. I'm not sure I believe that, but I have accepted the idea though, and know it could be a possibility. Someone says it could be a guardian angel. Sure, it could be, but I have no way to prove it or if it isn't. The final idea someone told me was it was a spirit that felt my energy and then latched itself onto me. I may never know what or who it was. It stopped coming around as much as it used to. I still see him every now and then, but not every day. I figured sharing my story with a variety of people may lead to someone else who has had the similar experience. Or maybe, I'd get some insight on who or what this man may be.
I'm a girl from the UK. I live in York, as does my boyfriend. It was around 2 a.m, and he went to the bathroom. While he was in there, I heard someone faintly say, "Babe." I thought it was him speaking to me quietly, as everyone else was in the house and asleep. 10 seconds later, he came back into the room asking me if I had shouted at him, as he heard the same thing as I did, just in a female's voice. He also said that the voice he heard was louder than what I had heard. He said the voice sounded like it came from behind him, but I was in bed the entire time. We have only heard about one creature that can impersonate people's voices, and that's a skinwalker. He went downstairs to check if something was in the front or back garden. The front was clear. However, the back garden was not. My boyfriend had his dog in the back with him. She ran behind the shed at the end of the garden, and as he shone a light to see where she was, he saw what looked like a very, very large, humanoid-like creature. The light was able to light up the face of the creature, and he explained what it looked like. He said its eyes were white, with no coloration or any sign of pupils, just ghostly white. Its face seemed human, however. It was as tall as the shed, which stands at around 6 feet tall, if I'm not mistaken. This sent shivers down my boyfriend's back. We don't know how it heard our voices, or how it knew to impersonate us at that time, because the only other times we were out in the back garden was through the daytime. Is this a skinwalker, or is this something else? I would love explanations from anyone here and in the swamp. It's recently been exactly 20 years since this incident occurred, and this will be the first time that I have ever opened up about the events of that terrible night in the woods. The nightmares that followed have stuck with me ever since. This took place in March 1999, when my family had recently moved to a small town in Colorado. Now, there were very few kids my age where we lived, but there was this one kid, I'll call him Keith, who was only 1 month younger than I was at the time. We shared common interests, and were just like any typical 16-year-olds. Needless to say, we quickly became close friends, and would hang out often. My favorite part concerning the small mountain town we lived in was the dense forest that almost completely surrounded us. For as long as I could remember, I had always loved hiking. The brilliant and crisp smells of nature combined with the feelings of isolation and peace of mind were simply second to none. Thankfully, Keith just so happened to share my passion for hiking, and we would often take long night hikes deep into the woods whilst chatting amongst ourselves about normal teenage stuff. On one of our hikes, we happened to come across a small river. It wasn't deep yet, but it wasn't shallow either, if that makes sense. Its current was smooth and the water was almost unnaturally clear, making it perfect for swimming in. The river quickly became our favorite hangout spot, as it was a convenient 20-minute hike from where we lived. Though it was 20 years ago, I could still clearly remember our last hike to that river. In fact, I can still remember that feeling of the cool night breeze blowing through my hair. It was around 9 p.m. when Keith and I finally reached the river. After setting down our backpacks and putting on our bathing suits, we both made our way down to the riverbank and slowly waded into the cold river. About a half an hour into our swim, Keith suddenly swam up to me and asked me in a whisper if I had noticed anything weird by the trees. When I asked him what he was talking about, he quietly told me that for the past 10 minutes he had been noticing movement by the tree line, as if someone or something were pacing back and forth, and that he was growing concerned. I turned towards the tree line, and after not noticing any signs of movement, I told him it was either an animal or his mind playing tricks. It was now very close to 10 p.m., and we were pretty much in the middle of nowhere, so the chances of another person being out here were very unlikely. Still, Keith was convinced that he had seen something and asked me if I would come with him to the riverbank to investigate. I told him that nothing was out there and that if he wanted to take a look, he'd be going alone. Keith mumbled something and with that, he swam off towards the shore. I shrugged and continued my swim for a minute or two before deciding to check on Keith. I turned towards the trees and that's when I saw him, standing in the moonlight facing the trees. That wasn't what freaked the heck out of me, though. No. What freaked the heck out of me was the fact that Keith was just standing there, unmoving, almost as if he was petrified. After calling out his name a couple of times without receiving a response, I knew something was definitely wrong. I swam as fast as I could, and after reaching the riverbank, I broke into a sprint towards my friend who had still not moved a muscle. Panting uncontrollably, I finally reached him, but when I saw his face, my heart skipped a beat. He was completely pale, and his eyes were wide open in fear. The look of horror that was on his face was indescribable. In a trembling whisper, I asked him what was wrong, and after about 20-second delay, Keith slowly raised a trembling finger and pointed straight into the trees. My eyes slowly followed his finger until I finally noticed what he was pointing at. I felt sick as I froze. Standing dead ahead about 15 yards into the woods was the tallest man I had ever seen. He was at least 6'8", and he had the most horrifying, emotionless expression that I had ever seen. His deformed, expressionless face almost seemed dead. Time seemed to stand still as my eyes locked with his. I just stood there in the moonlight, frozen in my own fear, as his lips slowly turned into the most blood-curdling, crooked smile that I had ever seen. It truly was a scene right out of a horror film. It was at that moment where I lost it. I screamed as I finally broke out of my trance. Things are kind of blurry from here on, but the next thing I can remember clearly was running at full speed through the dense woods towards the safety of our town. I assumed Keith was running right behind me, and I never once turned to look back. I didn't stop running until I made it home. I violently ripped open the front door, opened and screamed for my parents to come at once. Seconds later, they both came running down the stairs and explained in a slow, shaking voice what had happened. My dad called the police and my mom hugged me tightly in an effort to try to calm me down. A few minutes later, after calming down a notch, I remember Keith and instructed my mom to quickly call Keith's parents to see if he had made it back too. Again, I had been certain that Keith was right behind me, and I assumed, like me, he had ran for his house. After a few rings, Keith's mom picked up the phone. My mom asked if Keith had recently come back home, and to my horror, she answered that he had not come home yet. I broke down in tears that intensified with every passing moment as I realized that Keith had not made it, and it began to sink in. The police arrived shortly after. They took my statement and reassured me that a search party would be dispatched at once and they would find him. But they never did. Police and rescuers searched through the hundreds of miles of forest, yet no trace of Keith or the man was ever found. Eventually, Keith was declared lost and the case was closed. Since we lived in a small town, the incident didn't attract much media attention, and I'm personally grateful that it didn't. Now, 20 years later, I still haven't fully recovered from the shock, and I still get nightmares and suffer from severe PTSD till this day. Not a day goes by without me thinking of Keith and his fate. My heart reaches out to his family, who lost their only son that cursed night. Who was that man, and what was he doing here? Why was he stalking us, if he was? If so, how long had he been following us? What did that psychopath do to Keith? I don't think I'll ever know. There are simply too many questions and not enough answers. Furthermore, I have never gone hiking since, and probably never will again. This will forever go down as the most horrifying experience in my life. This happened sometime in 2014. I went ghost hunting with my boyfriend and some friends. We went to a small graveyard in the next town over that we had heard some pretty good stories about. You park on the road and walk up a small hill that takes you to a perfect clearing with trees surrounding it. The headstones are all around a tree in the middle of the clearing with a small fence around them, probably because they are so very old. So, we did our thing, talked and asked questions for our recorder. Nothing seemingly happened, and we headed back down the road. Everyone was talking, and I started feeling really, really weird. So I went up and stood against my car by myself because I like to think alone when I feel off. I started to feel ridiculously sad and had thoughts of missing my mom and sister. A little weird because I have 8 siblings. After a couple of minutes, that feeling left but was replaced with a burning, intense feeling of starvation. I've never experienced starvation, but that's all I could really attribute it to. Again, the feeling left and was replaced by another. My boyfriend walked over to ask if I was all right, and the most intense feeling of rage came over me. Like, I even scared myself. I felt as though I wanted to punch him and laugh hysterically. This is completely out of character for me. The rage scared me because I've never been that mad before. After a few minutes, the feeling subsided and I was back to normal. I started to cry because I felt like in those moments I was no longer in charge of my own body. I was so confused, and I was exhausted from switching emotions. When we got home, we listened to the recording, and there was a woman screaming through the entire thing. We obviously didn't hear it while we were there. If anyone could know what this means, I would appreciate any and all theories. Thank you, Swamp Dweller, for sharing my story. I'm from a small town in a very rural eastern part of East Texas. I've lived here almost my entire life, and I'm 20. I have had too many experiences to put into one post, but this story is from the one night my friends and I decided to go ghost hunting, so I hope this fits your show. The night started out with our usual activities, hanging out and watching movies while I was on spring break from college. Eventually, the conversation shifted to the fact that the house we were in is haunted. I eventually asked if any of them had been ghost hunting in the south part of our county. They all said no, and 10 minutes later we all loaded into my best friend's Jeep. We drove 15 miles to the south end, and I took them through the places I had either hadn't experienced myself or had heard of compelling stories. We started off hitting some of the dirt roads that got unnaturally dark. For reference, even on a full moon, you can have your brights on and still only see about a car length ahead, tops. We saw a lot of shadows and small rocks hit the side of the car, but nothing too intense. After that, we stopped by one of the local cemeteries and there was a dry spot. We had to stop for gas after that, and when we got out at the gas station, there was a handprint, much too large to be any of ours, on the back windshield. Unfortunately, in the panic, none of us thought to take a picture. After that, we agreed to not speak to one another until we got back to my house. Our next stop was a plantation house. This building was constructed just as soon as Texas was settled, and from the research I've done, the slaves there were not treated too well. As we drove past it the first time, we saw it as it's supposed to look. Beautiful fountain and reflecting pools out front. We turned around at an intersection, passed it, and on the way back, all five of us saw a cotton field out front instead. On that same road, three of us, myself included, saw a dog that had almost most likely been hit by a car, walk in front of us, and then disappear. At that same moment, the other two saw an orb of light go by the passenger windows. Our final stop was supposed to be a back road that locals call Pump Station Road. Our trip got cut a bit short because of what happened next. I wasn't quite paying attention and missed the turn to get onto Pump Station, but I knew the next road connected to it. So we turned down this even smaller dirt road and start driving down it, looking for the left turn we need. I knew the road teed off, and that's when we were supposed to turn. That's when it happened. We all saw the road laid out in front of us with an old man with a huge beard sitting in front of a house that was maybe 100 yards ahead. I continue at the same constant speed I've been going, and we hit a ditch. I don't mean a dip in the road, I mean we hit a ditch. And when we hit it, it was like a curtain dropped and the road that had been there was just gone. The old man remained and just started laughing. We couldn't hear it because the windows were up, but he just kept laughing. We sped out of there as fast as we could. When we got back to my house, we discussed all of what we had seen that night. We haven't been back down that final road since, but we are going to try and get some sort of proof soon. One day, I came back from work feeling terrible. I had a headache, so I decided to take a nap. It was around 5 p.m., but it was really dark outside. My head was killing me. I got into my bed facing a wall and pushing my head against a pillow. I'm sharing a room with my 14-year-old sister who was playing on her phone and ignoring me, so I was just resting, not sleeping. I know I wasn't sleeping because I have a problem falling asleep. It takes me hours to fall asleep, usually. Suddenly, I felt someone, or something, stroking my head. They covered me with a blanket and kissed my head from behind. I thought it was my sister, so I smiled at first. That's when I felt something crawling on me. It wasn't my sister. I felt little feet and hands on my back. I can't explain the fear I felt. Whatever had crawled on me continued to jump up on me, giggling. I can still hear that giggling to this day. It sounded like a little girl. That sound echoed inside my head. I wanted to scream, but I couldn't. I was genuinely afraid. All I could do was cry. I felt tears falling down my cheeks. It was just so scary. After a few minutes, I could finally move again. I jumped up as quickly as I could. My sister looked at me shocked, and I broke down. She was there the entire time and didn't notice a single thing. I don't understand what happened to me that night, but I know what I don't want to experience again. I thought it was sleep paralysis, but I wasn't sleeping. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm glad I haven't experienced it ever again. I hope I never do. So my mom's house that I visit on the weekends is extremely haunted. We hear footsteps on the stairs and have encounters upstairs. I've used to sleep in my own room there, but every night I would close my closet door only to have it open in the morning. I would get nightmares in that room and wake up in cold sweats. I stopped sleeping in that room. Fast forward a few years, and my brother and I were looking for a place to smoke, and my old room had a window with a ledge to sit on. So we opened my always shut room door to find the closet door open as usual. We open the window and get out on the ledge and proceed to smoke. When we're done, my brother turns around to go in and freezes. I ask what's wrong, and he says that I should go first. So I switch spots and start to go in. I feel something warm against my foot and see a shadow in front of me. I think it's my mom catching us smoking, so I say, "Mom?" There was no answer, so I proceeded and left the room quickly. My brother says there was definitely something evil in that room, and I agree. He said he saw a tall, lanky figure in the center of the room that retreated to the closet when he lit the room with his lighter. The only thing worrying me is what was the figure I accidentally touched. I want this to be the first story I share on this show because it informs a lot of my willingness to entertain the idea of the supernatural later on in life. It isn't the scariest thing you'll hear. It was scary to me as a kid, but as an adult, it is less so. I was probably 5 or 6 years old when this happened. My brother would have been 12 or 13 at the time. We were home alone. I don't really remember where everyone else was. I imagine they were probably out shopping or visiting with family or something along those lines. It was raining pretty heavily, and it was cold, so my brother and I got a whole bunch of warm sheets and pillows, and we were sleeping in the living room, a bit after midday. Now, I can't remember if we fell asleep before the sky darkened and woke up to find the house in darkness, or if there was a power outage that had us in darkness, as those are pretty normal in my city. Whatever the case may be, we woke up to find ourselves in darkness, and also found that we were pretty cold. We decided to go sleep in our parents' room, because it was a lot warmer there. We had to go down a long corridor to get from the living room to my parents' room. We picked up our sheets and we were walking down the corridor, when something pale, white, and human-shaped walked through the walls of the corridor. It freaked us out a lot, as we both clearly saw the same thing. I can't remember if we did get to my parents' room or not. After seeing this thing, we were so freaked out, but we did go outside when the rain stopped. While outside, my brother's best friend at the time showed up. His father had passed away during the heavy downpour, and he headed over to let my brother know. This isn't the scariest story, but the thing is, after seeing what we saw, we sort of expected to receive news of death, as that's sort of a part of our culture. It's kind of weird. Maybe we saw the ghost of that guy's dad, or maybe we just had some sort of weird experience. I'd love to know anybody's thoughts down below. So, some backstory. I'm living at home and watching the normal scary stories from YouTube, and I get to a break and decide to go downstairs to grab a bite to eat. I've done this many times and have never really been afraid of anything, since the most of what we get to see outside is a coyote. So, as I do this, I feel like something is watching me. As such, I run back upstairs without making much noise. Through my years, I've seen things like balls of lights to full shapes of demons, along with having dreams about a place I've never seen or been to as well, such as the Myrtle Plantation, and so on. But seeing this thing in my backyard about 20 to 35 feet away, and the only thing in between us is some thin glass, really shook me. Now, I'm 28, but I've been seeing these kinds of things all my life, and kinda disregard it now as I try to move past it. So back to the story. One night, I go downstairs for a cup of cereal, and the supermoon is out and all is fine. There is no wind, which is odd because not even 5 minutes ago it was howling like a storm was near. I shrug it off and don't think much of it, and as I'm about to head back up, I look towards the pool and see this big, almost dog-like thing drinking from the water. I know it can't be a dog since the biggest dog in my town is an Irish wolfhound, and this thing made it look like a puppy. I knew it wasn't a mountain lion or a coyote. Just then, I coughed and we both locked eyes. I really wished it did not go downstairs for food that night, as it still haunts me to this very day. As I'm looking at it, I can see that it's bent over with almost a moss-like hair all over its back, with large claws and very sharp teeth. Its eyes glowed an off-yellow, and as it stood up, it was bigger than I was. I'm 6'7" tall, and around 300 pounds, and it made me feel short. I do what I can to not make a sound as I hear a car race around the corner. As I look to see the car, I think to myself, I was just seeing things. That would not be the case. I turn around, and I swear this thing is at the window tapping on it, as if to say, "Let me in." I noped the heck out of there and ran back up the stairs and locked the door behind me. I wish I had gone to bed after that, but I didn't. The brave me went to my window in my room and looked out to see if I could spot it. Sure enough, I did as it tapped on the glass a few more times. It gave up, and with 10 or so steps, it left my backyard, and I've never seen it since. It's been 3 weeks now since I had saw this thing, and I think it was a skinwalker or a dogman or something. I don't know. If you must know, though, I'm living in SoCal, so any sort of explanation would be nice. Thanks for listening to these creepy, unexplainable stories sent in by viewers just like you. These were some pretty creepy stories, my friends, and I really do appreciate you guys always sending in some really spine-chilling experiences. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit that story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. If you're new to the Swamp, why not hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. If you enjoyed my friend today, Zach Baby TV, be sure to check out his channel. You can find the link in the top of the description. He reads scary stories and other stuff like that as well on his channel. If you guys aren't aware, you can download your favorite scary stories from the Swamp on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much every other major podcast platform. Be sure to do that. It's fun to bring your scary stories wherever you go. Thank you guys, as always, for watching and supporting the Swamp. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Oh, and by the way, today's code word is Red Panic. Comment that down below to let me know you made it to the very end of this video, and to confuse anybody who didn't. See you guys soon, and tally-ho!